Morning.
Morning.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah. And welcome into Long Meadow Church, the brethren, this morning for the sermon titled Darkness into Light. And our scripture lesson comes from John chapter 1, the first 14 verses. While you're looking that up, it's baseball season, ain't it? And we all know what happened this past Thursday with the Orioles. And Hank and Frank, they was the greatest of best friends, and they loved baseball. All of their life, that's all they were baseball, baseball, baseball. And they were good Christian men. And they did everything that the church asked of them, and they served. And they coached the church softball team. They coached the baseball team together. They coached T-ball together. They played on the teams together. One night one would be the pitcher, the next game the other. And back and forth, and they called and they talked baseball, and they made an agreement. Whichever one passed from this earth first, when he got to heaven, he was supposed to figure out some way to let the other one know if there was baseball in heaven. And so Hank passed, and months went by, and finally one night, Frank was laying there, and Hank come to Frank in a dream. He said, "Frank," and Frank woke up. He said, "Hank, is that you?" He goes, "It's me." He goes, "Where are you at?" He goes, "I'm in heaven." "What's it like?" He said, "I met Jesus. Jesus took me out and showed me the most beautiful baseball diamond ever." "Frank, there's baseball in heaven. And there's extra double special tasting popcorn and hot dogs. And the crowds cheer. And it's wonderful. And I've got good news and bad news." And Frank said, "What's the good news is?" He said, "Everyone hits home run." Frank says, "What's the bad news?" Hank says, "You're pitching Friday night." That one took a minute. If you didn't like that joke, when Jenny comes back to church, Jenny gave me a book that's about that thick, full of church jokes. And it's going to get serious. So thank her for the wonderful jokes. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these words that we will receive. They are yours, not mine. They are for us to grow on. They are ours to dwell on. They are ours to take forth this week and to walk with you, Father. And we are richly blessed to share them on the day of resurrection, the day of your Son's death over victory. Let us hear them. Let us learn. Let us grow, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. Dark. Dark. How many people in this room cannot sleep when it's light? Go ahead, say amen. Yeah. Got to have a room dark. Everybody's always like, "Would you please turn the lights off? I'm trying to sleep." Not me. I could sleep anywhere. Light, day. All I've got to do is go, "This looks like a good place for a nap." Boom, it's on. I once fell asleep sitting on a 5-gallon bucket milking cows that what my grandfather had to come by. And I was young, and he sat there for the longest time looking at me and said, "Did you have a good nap?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." He goes, "I kept hoping that cow would swat you in the head with her tail." Thanks, Pat. Dark. Scary dark. I mean, what's the first thing that always happens? Dark is scary. You know, the dark forest, the dark night, the dark. What's the first thing that happens? Because people are scared of the dark. In any movie that we've ever watched where somebody goes into a dark room, is anybody in there? Somebody in there? Hello? Can you hear me? And it always makes me laugh when somebody comes out of the dark and scares them and they run away. You ask to see them. Darkness. I have been in some dark places. I told you all the story about me and Wendy going to Crystal Grottoes that time and how I got in trouble in Crystal Grottoes because our tour guide at Crystal Grottoes may have had not both oars rowing in the water. And as we descended the steps down into the bottom of the Crystal Grottoes, our tour guide tapped the wall, the ledge that was right there. He tapped it and he says, "This is rock. It's very hard. It hurts when you hit your head on it." And I thought I was being quiet when I leaned over to Wendy and I said, "I wonder how many times he's hit his head on it." And our tour guide says, "Several times." And we got down in the, that's a true story. We got down in the bottom of that thing, and I don't know if you've ever been there, but after he gets done explaining it, he goes, "I will now show you what darkness looks like." And I couldn't help myself. I said, "Well, if it's dark, how can you tell?" And he said, "I will now show you what darkness looks like." He turned off the light, and it was dark. It was so dark down there, you couldn't do this and see it. Literally. And while it was dark, someone in that room, who I shall not mention that person's name, said, "Stop touching me!" And then when the light got on, everybody turned around and looked at me, and I went... That was a dark ride home that night. Darkness. It conjures up all kinds of visions. What is it like? What was it like inside that tomb? It was dark. So it led me to wonder, what is considered the darkest place on earth? The Canary Islands hold that distinction. Quote, "It is so dark that on a single clear night, light invades it to a single point. Light invades the dark." Salar de Uyuni is the world's most darkest place on the planet. And it's called, here we go, you ready? Roque de los Muchachos, something or another. I don't know, my Spanish is terrible. But it's the point on the Canary Islands. In 2016 was termed the darkest place on earth. No light can pervade that area without becoming a single point of focus. The darkest place on earth. To where it's said that when you walk in that darkness, you have to take every step very carefully. And by the same token, if we're going to have darkness, we're going to have light. And so thus I wanted to know, what is the most brightest natural light? What is the place on earth that has the most light? And here we go again. Salar de Uyuni. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It is in Bolivia, and it is the world's largest area of light. At 10,000 kilometers, or 3,900 square miles, it is a salt deposit lake that dried up and now is nothing but a solid sheet of light. It is called the Lake Without Water, and there is an island in the middle of it. And people go to that island as a tourist destination and stay on this little island in the middle of it. It was formed as a result of transformations between prehistoric lakes that existed. The greatest thing about it is that following a rain, a thin layer of dead calm water covers it and transforms it into the world's largest mirror, 80 miles across. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Yep. But what interested me more than anything is that on that island, on that Salar de Uyuni, the big mirror, there is a tourist attraction for someone like me. There is a train cemetery. A major tourist attraction is an antique train cemetery because at one time of day it was a hub for transporting those minerals. And when the trains quit, they just parked them and got another one. And there's a whole bunch of trains sitting down there calling out my name to come see them. Hey, honey, do you think we can get a camper to the Canary Islands? I'm going to see that. When darkness, where darkness can be pierced by light, it brightens. But the statement has been made, rarely is light pierced by darkness. One cannot be true of the other. Darkness can be pierced and illuminated by light. Whereas light, rarely, almost never, can be pierced by darkness and taken away. I know we think that we live in some extremely dark days. I preach about this. I talk about this. I speak on it. We truly do live in dark days. You pick up a newspaper and you see things that just make you go, why? What? The assault on morals. The world coming up with new and various ways to become ugly. Even the attempted subversion of Easter Sunday. We sit back sometimes and we say we live in dark times. We live where darkness is. We live in these times which are hard to understand. And yet, light pierces the darkness always. Darkness into light. 2 days ago, just 2 days ago, we heard these words. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Jesus died. And when he died, danger became prevalent. Disciples scattered, ran away and hid. People trembled with fear. People lost hope. People lost trust. People lost faith because they did not yet understand who, what, where, how, when Jesus Christ is, not was, not yesterday, is. We live constantly at the edge of danger. Glenn Cunningham, in a Reader's Digest post, says, Africa's Victoria Falls produces a cloud of mist that is often heavy enough to impair visibility. He writes, when I was walking the path that skirts the gorge into which the Zambezi River tumbles, I noticed a sign on the rim, but I could not make it out. Not wanting to miss anything or whatever it might be noting, I got down on my hands and knees and crawled and slid through the mud out to the very brink just to read the message that it was at the edge, which read, Danger, crumbling edge. I quickly slid back. You see, in darkness, we can stumble. In darkness, we may not even know what the danger is. And yet today, we read these beautiful words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Perhaps that's why Jesus is still waiting to give more and more a chance to understand darkness into light, to understand how much you can be lost, and by simply calling out His name and accepting the fact that on this day Jesus Christ rose from the dead, this day, that your darkness can be made replaced with light. He is the light of the world. Scripture goes on. Then came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came to tell everyone. He became the witness. He became the point at which we each talk about Jesus. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Even as Jesus was here, they didn't know him, much like today. He's still here. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of husband's will, but of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ rose from the dead today to seal our salvation, now and forever and ever and ever more. Amen. That's what we celebrate today. We can look at it any old way you want. But the truth of the matter is, we have been prepared by our belief in Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate today. Bill Hybels, in his book, Not Too Busy to Pray, or Too Busy Not to Pray, wrote these words. Sometimes when you're in an airport, observe the difference between passengers who hold a confirmed ticket and those who are on standby. The ones with confirmed tickets will read newspapers, chat with their friends, or sleep. Now, the ones who are on standby hang around the ticket counter. They pace and they wander about and they fret and they worry and they pace and they wander. The difference is caused by the confidence factor. If you knew that in 15 minutes you would have to stand judgment before the Holy God and learn your eternal destiny, what would your reaction be? Would you pace and wander and be anxious? Would you say to yourself, I don't know what God's going to say? Will it be welcome home, child? Or will it be depart from me? I never knew you. Those of us who have proclaimed the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on this day have accepted him. To those who haven't, we are the witnesses to go forth and say, our Jesus Christ has risen from the dead to save you. Today is the day that proves it. On Friday night, I started the first half of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, and stopped it right there. That's only the front half of it until we get to the third day. Dr. George Sweeting tells of an incident in the early 1920s when communist leader Nikolai Bukharin was sent from Moscow to Kiev to address an anti-God rally. For an hour, he hammered the Christians, abused and ridiculed them, until it seemed that the whole structure of faith was in ruins. He had laid waste claim to every single thing that was Christianity. And feeling very full of himself, he flopped down smiling, and questions were invited. An Orthodox church priest rose. He turned and faced the people and gave the Easter greeting, "He is risen." And instantly the entire assembly rose to its feet, and the reply came back, "He is risen indeed. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." From our darkness into Jesus' light. That's this day. We've heard that story. We heard it this morning at sunrise service. We heard it again. Mary stood at the tomb, trembling, crying, broken. "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" And turning around, she saw him. "Sir, if you've taken him, tell me, are you the gardener? I want to go put him in a proper place." And her darkness into light came when he said, "Mary." She realized that our Savior had risen. "Tomb, thou shalt not hold him any longer. Death is strong, but life is longer. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumph, say, Christ will rise again on Easter Day." Brothers and sisters, this day that started out, this weekend that started out with darkness, has been turned into light. Our souls, which were once lost in darkness, have been turned into light. The world that we think is in darkness stands ready to receive the light, and we simply proclaim it. How do we proclaim it? Try this on for size. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask that you fill our hearts and minds and let us dwell on the fact that while everything around us seems lost and hopeless, God is still here, Jesus is in control, and the Holy Spirit still comforts. Father, push all of that away for a moment and let us dwell on this day, the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. The final victory over death. The absolute, complete, solid, complete way. Can't say it enough. Into eternity and safety and your kingdom. We thank you, Father, that you gave us Jesus. And as we depart from here today, let us dwell on that thought. Let us tell others about him. Let us show them the way from darkness into light. In his name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.